Newcastle's best childhood centres, the Little Unicorn. Explore, play, discover, grow. Enrol now. Supporting Newcastle's only mum's radio show.
I got it from my mama.
With Beck and Sarge.
Good evening or good morning. Or are you a mumby? I coined this phrase this week, Beck.
Oh my gosh, I'm just scared. I'm bracing
myself.
So
it means mum zombie, and it means, you know, that feeling of when your kids have been awake all night and then you have to get up with the normal people and pretend that you're a normal person and live the day as a mum zombie.
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like it.
Okay.
Yep. I have experienced that.
I had it all week. And then when I left tonight, I was like, thank goodness, because one of my blessed children, which I love so much, she had vomiting all day all around the house sporadically, which was fun. Lots of towels and, you know, things and buckets and things. And then it's coming out the other side too. So, oh, this is great because she's potty training. She hasn't really got the toilet yet properly. And she's been doing those number threes in the potty and making me end it.
So, sorry if you're listening to us over breakfast, lunch or dinner, everyone.
Today's episode is all about emotions, recognizing your kids' emotions and struggling with temper tantrums or anxiety, or teenagers who withdraw or teenagers who are acting up, and just understanding their emotions better.
And I thought it was really cool because Dr. Ricky, who's coming up from the Hummingbird Centre, has said in the past that it's really a lot of it comes parental role models, and she's running a workshop on how to teach parents to be better role models for their children and what they can do to understand their emotions better.
Yes.
So, and one of the questions that I think we need to ask or find out more from her is whether or not that sometimes there's a behavioural thing or whether it's an emotional issue that's
are they just being emotional and being themselves, or is my child a real piece of work, basically?
That's right. That's what I got out of that.
Is my child a pain in the ass, or are they okay and just struggling with a little bit of stuff?
And Dr. Ricky can tell us, we hope.
We're going to find out about that next.
I got it from my mama with Beck and Sarge on Apple, Spotify and NHMNewcastleUnderMamas.com.
Thanks to our sponsors, The Little Unicorn, offering quality early childhood education for children aged between 6 weeks and 5 years of age with a focus on fun play-based learning. The Little Unicorn centres have been designed with your child in mind. At The Little Unicorn, you can have peace of mind that your little one will develop the skills they need for school and life. TheLittleUnicorn.com.au at Honeysuckle, Broadmeadow and soon to be Charlestown Square.
I got it from my mama with Beck and Sarge.
I got it from my mama with Sarge and Beck and our favourite Dr. Ricky Elliott from the HummingbirdCentre.com.au at Redhead, Broadmeadow and Warners Bay. Calm Kids is a workshop coming up with Dr. Ricky at The Place at Charlestown. If you want to find out more about that, just hit up their Facebook page. And she's talking to us about Calm Kids. I don't think I've seen one ever since one came screaming out of my vagina, actually. It wasn't calm then, and not
I don't
calm
have
now.
A calm kid either.
Actually, mine is calm a little bit today because she's been profusely vomiting.
Yeah,
and in between the vomits, she does lie down on the couch, and I go, man, I've never seen that before. No, but we digress, Dr. Ricky. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And we do want to learn more about our kids' emotions. Something that comes up for me in this is I was feeling a bit depressed the other day. And I just had a hard time at work, some office politics, and then the kids have been 24/7, one teething and one sick. And I went over to my mum and dad's and I just wanted to go for a run by myself for half an hour. And mum asked me, oh, you know, are you, what's up? And I said, oh, I feel really down. And then I went off for my run and I thought, wow, I feel really privileged that my relationship with my mother and my parents is to the point where I feel like I could say absolutely anything to them. Is that what you're trying to encourage in kids, to make them really open and communicative?
That's exactly what we're after, and that's fantastic that you've got that. That is, it doesn't, we can't protect our children as much as we want to from going through hardship in life. But if they have, they have hard times and they know that there's that soft place to land, those arms to fall into, to say, I'm feeling really down or I've had a hard time today, and that parent can offer empathy and understanding and not jump in to fix it or solve it for their child, have that soft place to land, then that's where children actually learn how to regulate emotion and how to build resilience. And that's what you did the other day. You went, you had a, they're a safe place for support. You went in and said, I've had a hard day, and you look after the kids, and now I'm going off to cope by going for my run. So that's, you know, perfect emotion regulation. That's exactly what we're trying to encourage through the talk. And a big emphasis on it is that emotion coaching component for children, so where parents can validate and try and understand what their child's going through without trying to jump in and solve it for them or reassure them or dismiss what's happening for them. Because with loving intentions, a lot of parents want their children to be happy.
Yeah, I think I fall into that category for sure. I'm always trying to fix. Is that just in our human nature that we want to fix it when they're feeling sad? Yeah.
And it's from the get-go, from babies, you know. How do we get them to sleep through the night? How do we, you know, how do we solve this problem? How do we solve that problem? We go into trying to fix everything, and we want them to be happy and content all the time. And that's just not human nature. We, if we're going to live a rich human life, we're going to go through the rich array of every emotion, including, you know, the other day for you, you're going to have down days, you're going to be angry some days, you're going to have a rich, full array of emotions. We're not going to be happy and calm all the time. So to have those expectations, that's what we want for our children, unrealistic for them. It's unrealistic to put that pressure on us that we're in control of that. And often it's just being there with them when they're upset and down. So one of the biggest errors I see when kids and their parents come into sessions with me, and it's with loving intentions, it's beautiful parents trying to reassure the children too quickly who have anxiety, you know, or jump in and tell the kids what to do if they're having friendship difficulties at school, and the kids shut down and don't want to go back and tell the parents. Because like us, if we've had a hard day at work and you go home and you tell your husband or this happened or that happened, and he goes, well, you need to just do this, just tell him that, or just do this.
Yeah,
we're like, I don't want to do that. I just want you to listen and empathise. So the kids will shut down and not go and tell their parents if they don't like that advice. And so it's just about promoting that kind of being there with them, and that letting kids know that all emotions, including what we say, negative emotions, sadness, anger, it's all normal, and it's all, they all pass. You know, I use the analogy of clouds and sunshine in the sky. And if we're sad or upset, it's okay to let our children know, you know, as long as it's not, you know, any appropriate content, not anything that worries them, but that we're down. But it's okay, because feelings like the clouds in the sky, they pass. And that's life. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that analogy. I know that probably the most common emotional concern that I have experienced or had friends experience is probably anxiety. Is that, and I want to word this the right way, so feel free to correct me, but is that commonly overdiagnosed? It, like, and I mean, people sort of go, oh, my child's scared of this, so he's got anxiety. Is it dangerous to overdiagnose this kind of emotion when in fact this could, some of them could just be normal? That child might just not like dogs, that, you know, that, you know, so-and-so might just have a fear of storms for a month, that kind of thing. Is it wrong or
I think that we wouldn't want to ever put clinical diagnosis on it, because that's, childhood is, certain stresses and anxiety are very normal, aren't they? Like fear of the dark.
You
know, that kind of thing's very, very normal.
My daughter says scared all the time. Mummy, scared.
Yes, will it a spider or scared of the dark. A lot of kids are nervous about hallways and dark places. I remember being scared of the dark. A lot of kids don't want to sleep in their own bed. Like, I think that we can, and a lot of kids have difficulty. My middle daughter just started kindergarten last week. I'm watching all the kindy kids.
I met a mum yesterday who told me that it was her daughter's first week at school, and she had been coming home every night just crying her eyes out. She told the father that she didn't love him anymore. A lot of the other kids in the class are doing things like holding their poos because they're too scared to go in the toilet and having tummy difficulties. Is that sort of thing normal when a child starts school?
Yes. It's such a huge change. Even walking into the playground at some of the bigger schools, it is overwhelming. There are that many children there. It's a brand new thing. You don't know what to expect. You've got to think about us. If we started a new workplace with 500 new people and we didn't know who the boss was, we don't know what to expect or what's going to happen, you're going to have some anxiety, some stress. That's totally normal until you adjust and get used to it. And they hold it in a lot all day because they want to let their emotions out with their people they feel safest with.
Okay.
So it's normal to hold a lot of that in all day. And then when you get home from school, one, you're tired and hungry and you're exhausted from the day, and it's normal to let that out when you get home and be a bit dysregulated. And, yeah, that's fairly normal. And it's just an adjustment transition to school. Like, some children actually have a clinical anxiety issue, but the majority of kids will struggle with that transition for a little while.
Okay. And what can you do when your children are struggling with that or struggling with daycare?
Yeah. So basically it's just seeing any behaviours in the afternoon, or try and see the emotions or the needs driving that behaviour. So they're going to be fatigued, they're going to be exhausted, they're coping with change and adjustment, they might be overwhelmed. They often don't eat a lot, you know, when they're first starting school and a lot's going on. They're going to be hungry, tired. So it's just about trying to help have a calm environment, help regulate them. You know, my kids the first week or two back from school, it's been hot too. They get hot and bothered. They, unlike us, if it's hot when we sit in air conditioned to regulate, they don't. They run around in the heat.
Yeah.
Just trying to find the thing that helps. Each child's different, I find. So what calms one child won't necessarily calm the other. But different regulation strategies, just having quiet, relaxing time in the afternoon. Don't ask them too many questions.
Okay.
About the day.
That would seem like a normal thing to do, right?
Yeah. It's okay to say, how was your day, sweetheart, and stuff like that. But don't
I would really be drilling as well. Yeah, I'm doing all the wrong stuff, I'm sure.
Lots of parents are anxious when their little kids go off to kindergarten and you don't know what's happening for them. So they might ask a lot of questions like, who'd you play with today?
Or I do that. I go, what did you do today at daycare? Oh, painting. What did you paint? What colours did you use?
You can ask a few questions, but they're more likely, they're in the moment, kids, and if they're not thinking about it in that moment, and so they, while you're giving them a bath or later on in the evening when you're reading a book, it's more likely to come out then. Or 2 days later you'll hear a story, and it's critical then that when they do open up and talk, that, you know, whatever's going on for us, we try and pause and pay attention and engage in the conversation then, even when we're busy, which is hard sometimes. You're trying to cook dinner or something and they want to bring a story up, but it's really trying to pause and engage when they bring it up. Yeah.
What about the difference between an emotional need and behavioural problems? How can you tell the difference?
So what we generally say is we try and I usually explain it to people when they come in to see me. We don't have visuals here, but like an iceberg in the ocean. So you sail along in the ocean, and if you were in your boat, if you can imagine a picture, and you might see the tip of the iceberg. And the tip of the iceberg that we all look at and focus on is the behaviour. But we try and just have to think about, you know, the large part of the iceberg is what we don't see below the surface, which is the emotions and needs.
Yeah.
So we'll always encourage parents to try and reflect and wonder about and be curious about what an emotion or unmet need might be driving the behaviour. So sometimes it may be change or stress or anxiety or a new sibling or tiredness, hunger, not enough quality time with that parent when we've been really busy and haven't spent enough time connecting with them. That can drive negative behaviours to get attention. But sometimes it's not that as well. Sometimes it can be just, you know, a limit needs to be set on their behaviour, and sometimes it's both. Emotions driving the behaviour, and all emotions we say are acceptable, but not all behaviours are. So they might be playing with their younger brother who's just knocked over their tower, and they've gotten really angry and frustrated because they just spent 10 minutes building it. And
this sounds right. About
so annoying.
So
it does stuff like this all the time. So they hit their little brother or throw a piece of the tower at them. So in that situation, we say, come in and emotion coach and validate. It's okay to be frustrated with your little brother. It's okay to be angry. You know, I said you spent so long building that great tower and he's knocked over. That's really disappointing. That's okay. But, and then we go in with the behaviour management limiting, but we do not hit in this house, firmer voice.
Mm.
Next time he does that, what can you do instead? So, and if they can't come up with it because they're little, you know, use your words, come and ask mum for help, say stop it, you know, whatever. So too often we get kids in trouble with a limit and they're in trouble for something, but we don't tell them what they need to do to regulate that frustration or disappointment for the next time. And so if they don't learn what to do with the feeling, they're always going to have this, repeat the same behaviour.
Okay.
So what about, because this is sounding like it's very tailored towards, say, the under 10s and how they react with things. What are some things that the parents with some of the older kids, because I know your workshop goes up to around 18.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you should be looking out for the older kids and how you can help them?
Things really, even when they're more presenting with, they might be still presenting with anxiety, but it might be friendship difficulties, or it might be, you know, having to set limits around technology, all that kind of stuff, and going out. So it's the same kind of thing. We say warm but firm parenting. So warm, validate, empathise, try and understand with them, trying to get them to come up with their own problem solving solutions to encourage their own making growth. We're setting limits, but explaining those to teenagers, you know, if you've got to set limits on technology, explaining your reasons, explaining that, you know, you're not here to, your role's not to be mean, you're here to support them in their decisions and their well-being, and that's where you're coming from. So it's all about really open communication.
What about some flags with teenagers where you think something might be going wrong for them in their lives, but you think that they'll be holding back, you know, would that, what sort of behaviours might they be exhibiting?
Well, again, it's hard to know with normal teenage behaviour what's not. So, you know, because it's normal for teenagers to be more withdrawn, not wanting to talk to their parents about things and that kind of thing. What we just kind of encourage is don't sit down and have a, if you were concerned about anything, don't sit down and have a conversation with them like we would as adults, like sitting across from them. That's more like while you're driving them somewhere, you drive them to work, or you take the dog for a walk together, you know, so it's not so
confrontational.
Yeah. And just kind of wondering with them how everything's going and trying to always put across that you're communicating, you're there as a support person, not as a person to tell them no and they can't do this and they can't do that. And I think if you establish that when they come to you with an issue, you don't try and tell them what to do or take over and make their decision for them, they're more likely to come you.
What about parents regulating their own emotion? Yeah. It's interesting, like acting as role models, because I know that I'm a bit of a psycho sometimes, and I feel like maybe
everyone's,
I could do
a bit
better
of a psycho sometimes because you're human.
Yeah,
and I know. To role, when we say role model, it you're human, and you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to, they call it, you're flipping your lid, like your thinking part of your brain goes offline and you're just let your emotions fly.
Yeah.
That's a normal part of being a parent. And especially if you're fatigued or you're busy or you're stressed with work or you've got financial pressures or, you know, you've had an argument, you haven't, whatever, it's really easy to do. And what we say to parents is when that happens is be very self-compassionate, because you're a human being and you're going to succumb to human emotions sometimes. As parenting experts say, the parents must flip that lid and lose it at times, because that's a valuable lesson to your children, because you're teaching them that you're a human being. Human beings make mistakes.
Yeah.
Emotions get the best of us sometimes. Mm. And then what you need to do when that happens is to take ownership of it, take responsibility, and go to your child and say, you know, I'm really sorry, mummy yelled. Mummy was a bit stressed about blah, 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 or mummy's a bit tired. You know, it's okay to say, you know, I need you to listen, or or whatever. But mummy should have taken her deep breaths or gone outside and had her walk or whatever. I'm sorry I yelled at you. What was that like? It must have been a bit scary or stressful or whatever. Validate the emotion. And they said the teachers' kids that they don't have to be perfect because you're not perfect. If you're perfect, it puts pressure on them to be perfect.
My kids are going to have to be really perfect. It's hard for me.
If you make a mistake in life, you take ownership. You say sorry, you repair it with the person.
What? Take ownership. Oh. I remember my partner today, he said something like, and you lost the key for the car the other day when we had this big blow up and I couldn't get to work and the kids were like running around crazy. And I said, no, Lily took the keys and then broke them in half and the key was lost somewhere. He's like, you lost the key. Okay, so I take ownership of that. But I said the key shouldn't come out of the key holder.
It's the car manufacturer's fault.
No, it's Mick's fault because he bought that dodgy key online. We can point fingers all the time as well, can't we? But,
yeah,
you know.
It's just human nature. But it's all right if you get cranky every now and again. They children need to see that's normal. But if you can offer repair, then that teaches them loads. And if they never experience that, then they're worse off.
Well, thank you so much, Ricky.
No trouble.
And what are your children like? Do they go crazy or are they perfect?
They're all different. They're definitely not perfect. I'm definitely not perfect. We're all just trying to do the best we can, aren't we?
Do you have any, tips in your mum tool bag for us, as a mother and as a psychologist?
Yeah, I think definitely the biggest thing we need to do with mums is work on the mother guilt, and which guilt is anxiety.
I think you told us, it was you that told us that it was instilled in us when we were...
So we don't
when we were pregnant.
To Hawaii for 6 months a year and stuff.
Oh, that
so we
sounds
don't abandon
good.
The kids.
I want to go to Hawaii, yep.
Yeah, so that's the evolutionary part that they say. It's part of our attachment system to feel, the guilt and anxiety so we don't, take
we don't
off
leave them.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's a lot of pressure on mum to be catering to the child's whole emotional needs, organic food and doing these baby music class and baby this. And it's a lot of extra from the beginning.
It's crazy. Plus bringing in half the bacon often.
Taking care of the house. I mean, so I think self-compassion for mums is a big thing I'm trying to teach all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I see mums at work come down tremendously hard on themselves if they yell or whatever every now and again. And it's a really hard job. And if you've got fatigue or hormones on board or something, it's just you're a human being. It's going to happen. And you have to have self-compassion. We're all doing the best we can.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do to help ourselves out a little bit more with that every day? Just mantras or I'm doing my best or what would you suggest, Ricky?
I think so. I think that we call it the harsh inner critic comes in to jump on us whenever we make a mistake in life and to say, we're not doing good enough or, So it's just kind of recognising that and not flying into it. And, that's my mantra that I say. I'm a human being. Human beings make mistakes. I'm doing the best I can. But it's just not flying into that inner critic thought that you will jump on any minor mistakes that you make. And embracing the fact that you're human and that you're busy and motherhood and fatherhood is tough. That's important for parents. And that kids don't have to be happy all the time. That message that these, what we call, all emotions are normal and part of the human experience.
Yeah, but I think Instagram, and all of that, people with pretty pictures have crap going on in the background, I'm sure of it. Thank you so much for your time, Ricky. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
I Got It From My Mama with Beck and Sarge on Apple, Spotify and NHM NewcastleHunterMamas.com.